Good morning, and welcome to Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of First Church of Merrimack, New Hampshire. We'll have more information on our church at the end of today's program. Today, Pastor Matthew Judd is continuing his series of messages on the Gospel of the Apostle John. Today's sermon is titled, Do You Love Me? And is based on John 21, verses 15 through 19. Please listen with me now to Pastor Judd.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John as we continue our preaching series through the Gospel of John today. We'll be in John chapter 21. We'll be reading verses 15 through 19 of John chapter 21. We find ourselves on this side of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, triumphant from the dead, that He is risen. He is risen indeed. And we find ourselves in Galilee as the Lord Jesus Christ has manifested Himself to His disciples there. We find Him in Galilee about 11 or 12 days after His crucifixion, and we find Him engaging with His followers, and specifically today, engaging with Simon Peter. Hear then God's holy word, John chapter 21, beginning in verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, Follow me. Having heard God's word, what is your response?
Amen.
Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know what it is like to be broken, to be cast down, to be burdened, crushed even underneath of the weight of guilt and sin. You know what it is like to feel forsaken, that you indeed have crossed a line, and there is perhaps in your thinking the temptation that there is no way back. Broken, burdened, and crushed by the guilt of sin. Well, we come to John chapter 21. We come to this passage which is before us. We come and we find that there is indeed a pathway back. We find that the risen Lord, the one who indeed pays for the sins of his people on Calvary's cross, that the risen, victorious Lord Jesus Christ is the one who restores his broken people. And he not only restores his broken people, he recommissions them. He recommissions his broken and repentant people. And so here today in these verses, verses 15 through 19, we learn that the risen Lord restores and recommissions his repentant people. And we see this exemplified for us in our Lord Jesus Christ's dealings with none other than Simon Peter. Simon Peter. And it is here that we really see five things in this passage that we want to meditate upon today. First of all, we see the key question, which is before us three times in this passage. Then we see the humble answer, which is before us three times in this passage. Then we see the clear directive, which is before us three times in this passage. And then finally, we see the solemn prediction. and the final word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the risen Lord Jesus is the one who restores and recommissions his repentant people. And we are introduced to the key question, which is repeated three times in this passage to start with. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Jesus repeats the question in verse 16. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And then he repeats it a third time in verse 17. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Why three times does Jesus ask this simple but searching question? Why three times? Is it not because it was Simon Peter who had denied the Lord by treachery three times, who had seriously fallen and stumbled, and who had indeed been broken by his sin, which he had committed against the Lord? Yes, three times Jesus asked the key question, "Do you love me?" A simple question, a searching question, but an important and imperative question that is addressed unto Simon Peter. Simon, who had boasted that though all forsake you, I will not. I will lay down my life for you. Simon Peter, who had boasted that though the 11 would indeed turn their back on the Lord Jesus Christ, not him, not me, no, never, I will remain faithful unto the end. Yes, and then Peter denies the Lord three times with intensification each time. He first denies him with a word. He second denies the Lord Jesus with an oath. And he third denies the Lord Jesus Christ, calling down curses upon himself and swearing, "Strike me dead, O God, if I speak falsehood. I do not know the man." And Simon Peter, as he spoke those last words the third time, the cock crowed, and Jesus was taken across the courtyard. And as the cock crowed, Jesus turned and looked into Peter's eyes. That's what we learn in the Gospel of Luke. A look of conviction, a look of concern, a look of compassion. And we learn that it was Simon Peter who went outside and wept bitterly. What must that look have been like, to have Jesus look into his eyes after the third act of treachery and betrayal? But here Jesus, some 11 plus days after his crucifixion on Calvary's cross, some 8-plus days after his glorious resurrection from the dead, has a private conversation with Peter. And three times he asks him the question, "Do you love me?" Note that the first time he asks the question, he asks it with a few more words. "Do you love me more than these?" Now, that question could be taken in several different ways, but I think that the overall context would lead us to take the question like this: do you love me more than the other disciples love me? You who once boasted that you were indeed more bold, more courageous, more faithful than they, do you love me more than them? Or have you seen? Have you learned? Have you understood your own weakness, your own brokenness, your own burdenness? Do you love me more than these? And Simon Peter answers, "Yes, Lord, you yourself know that I love you." Note, he doesn't say, "You yourself know that I love you more than these." Peter has learned what he is capable of. He has been brought to see what is in his heart. Yes, Lord, you yourself know that I love you. Jesus asks it again, do you love me? Peter answers, yes, Lord, you yourself know that I love you. Notice Jesus doesn't say, do you fear me? Do you revere me? Do you admire me? No, he asks him, do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you yourself know that I do. But Jesus asked the third time, do you love me? And we're told in verse 17, Peter was grieved, filled with sorrow, because he said to him the third time, do you love me? Surely here the Lord Jesus brings to Peter's memory his threefold denial of the Lord. But if it was grievous to Peter to be questioned, how much more grievous must it have been for the Master to be denied? Peter is grieved. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. There's nothing that is hidden from you. You know my denial of you, my desertion of you, my determination to love me more than to love you. You know my boasting in me instead of in you, my arrogance, my pride. You know my failure. You know my folly. You know my bitter tears and my regret. You know it all, Lord. There's nothing that is hidden from your all-seeing eye. But Lord, you know my repentance and you know my love. And here, as the Lord restores and recommissions his repentant people, we see that with this simple and searching question, we learn much. It's a question really for each of us that the Lord would ask. Do you love me? Do you love me? A very searching question. You may know much, you may do much, you may profess much, you may talk much, you may work much, you may give much, you may go through much, and you may make much show in your religion, and yet not love Jesus. It's the crucial question, isn't it? Do you love me? And if we ask the question, what is the great secret of loving Jesus? Jesus tells us. He tells us in Luke chapter 7 what the great secret of loving him is. He who is forgiven much loves much. Oh, to feel, to know, to experience the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ is indeed to be warmed to much love. To see that there is no greater sinner than me. To see that there is no greater sinner than you. And to find that there is forgiveness even for you, even for me. This is what indeed stirs and stokes much love. Do you love me? This is the question which indeed restores and recommissions God's repentant people when they fall, when they stumble, when they are crushed. But there is not only the key question, there's the humble answer in all of this, which we have just heard, which we have just witnessed, which we indeed want to experience ourselves in our answer to the Lord as he asks us the question. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Notice what is not said. You know that I love you is what is said, but what is not said is the following. I know that you love me, or that I love you. I know that I love you. Peter doesn't even rest upon his own assessment. He rests upon the Lord's assessment. It's not enough that I know. It is enough that you know. That you know that I do love you. And in light then of this key question and the humble answer which resounds in our ears today, we have a clear directive from the Lord Jesus as he not only restores but recommissions Simon Peter. Verse 15. In essence, Jesus says, if you love me, feed my lambs. In verse 16, if you love me, shepherd my sheep. In verse 17, if you love me, feed my sheep. Peter, who perhaps felt that he had no right to indeed any longer be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ and to bear his name before the nations, is here told that he is not only restored, but he is recommissioned in terms of the principal work which Jesus gives him to do. A work of feeding and shepherding. A work of being a witness and proclaiming the good news which is in Jesus Christ for the greatest of sinners. And a word of leading and protecting the sheep entrusted to him. To be sure, Simon Peter is an apostle and has a unique office with the other disciples. But we too, as we are restored and recommissioned, have a sphere of influence to be those who indeed carry out feeding and shepherding, whether it be in our own homes, whether it be in our one anothering, whether it be in various positions which God grants to us in terms of our sphere of influence. And it is here that Jesus says that the one who is restored is the one who is recommissioned to be one who is his witness, to be one who is his hands and his mouth to others. And so Simon Peter is restored and recommissioned with a clear directive to be useful. Sometimes we are tempted to think that when we have sinned grievously and have fallen dramatically, that there is no longer any usefulness for me in the life of the church, in the life of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. And yet here we see that is not true. That Jesus is the one who recommissions his restored and repentant people and indeed calls them to be his witnesses. Here then is the clear directive which we hear in the restoration of Simon Peter. But there is also a solemn prediction which Jesus gives in verse 18 with regard to Simon Peter. He says, truly, truly, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Here is a solemn word. Indeed, the last truly, truly statement of Jesus in the Gospels. The last, amen, amen, most solemnly I declare to you, here it is. And Jesus tells to his restored and recommissioned disciple that the full cost of loving Jesus shall include the following. It will include not your will being done, but the will of another. That's what we read. When you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you willed. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Now we have the interpretation of what Jesus says here in verse 19 by the Apostle John, and the Gospel of John more than likely written sometime in the decade of the 80s. And we know that by the time of the decade of the 80s, Simon Peter has already given his life as a martyr for the cause of Jesus Christ in the year AD 64 or AD 65 in Rome. Church tradition, although it's rather late, tells us that he was crucified. Late church tradition, all the way in the 4th century, tells us that he was crucified upside down. But here we're told, this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And so here Jesus gives the solemn prediction that in loving me, you will come to see and come to experience not your will being done, but the will of another. The natural will of self-preservation shall give way to a faithful allegiance all the way to death. Peter shall lay down his life in allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ and faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ and in testifying on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. This will be the full cost of what it means to love Jesus. And he will thereby glorify God in his death. Peter shall die as a martyr and lay down his life for the Master, but only because the Master has laid down his life for Peter. Yes, Christ laid down his life, a sacrifice for sin, a propitiation to satisfy the righteous wrath of God, a substitute in the stead of sinners, in the stead of Peter. And therefore, Peter will come to learn and come to put into practice, not my will be done, but yours. Self-preservation will give way to self-sacrifice on behalf of the Savior. And he will glorify God in his death. And so the risen Lord restores and recommissions his repentant people. We see this exemplified in Simon Peter. We hear the key question. We hear the humble answer. We hear the clear directive, and we hear the solemn prediction. But what's the final word in all of this? What is the final word? The final word to Simon Peter is simply, follow me. Follow me. This is what it means to be restored and recommissioned. To hear again those words. Follow me. Follow me is the first call of the Christian life. Follow me is the ongoing call of the Christian life. Follow me is the final call of the Christian life. And this is the final word to Simon Peter. Follow me as your Savior, as the one who has indeed suffered for your sins. Follow me as your Master, as the one who is your teacher and your instructor. Follow me as your Lord, as the one who restores you, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things and renews your youth like the eagles. Follow me. Follow me. And this final word, this final word unto Simon Peter is the risen Lord's word to you today. The risen Lord who restores and recommissions his repentant people when they fall, when they stumble, when they are beat up and they give in and they mess up. It's the final word which Jesus indeed has for each of us today. Follow me. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The call at the beginning, the call throughout the Christian life, and the call at the end, that we would follow him wheresoever he leads, that we would glorify him in both life and in death, that we would be as those who are ready for both life and death, and we would submit unto the will of him who holds those things in his life, that we would glorify God in death by patiently enduring its pains and testifying to others of the comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel in the face of our death. That we would hear that final word, and that we would indeed respond, and that we would not be so foolish as to gain the whole world, but to lose our souls by not following him. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Ah, but here is indeed the risen Lord, who restores and who recommissions and who redirects us unto himself even today. Will we, will you, will I hear and take hold? Will we hear the question, do you love me? Will we give the humble reply, yes, Lord, you know that I do. Will we hear the clear directive that we would be those who indeed are useful in the kingdom? And would we hear that both in life and in death, Jesus calls us to glorify him, and we will only do so as we follow him all the way to the end. Are you following him? Amen.
Thank you for tuning in this morning for Truth Unchanged and Unchanging. We hope you will join us again next Saturday. The First Church of Merrimack is an Orthodox Presbyterian church located in southern New Hampshire. If you would like to learn more about us, you can find us online at fcmnh.org. Once again, that is fcmnh.org. If you do not have a home church, we cordially invite you to visit us at First Church. Our meeting house is located at 7 Babuzik Lake Road in Merrimack, New Hampshire, directly across from Merrimack Town Hall. And now, quoting from our church's first covenant of 1771, to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed exalted praises. Amen.